just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all, you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, yeah, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will. Making their way, the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
And welcome to the Ed Boston Podcast today. We are truly honored to have the guest that we have. We have John Schneider with us today, folks. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show.
It has been a busy few months for you. Dancing with the Stars, putting out 52 songs. How do you have time to pick up the phone and call somebody?
Well, we're actually driving to Tupelo, Mississippi, so on the way I have time to stop and call. Well, actually not stop, but call. So it's been great. It's the Dancing with the Stars. That was kind of a surprise, but it seemed like the right thing to do because of all the music that's out, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So the plan is to have people start thinking of me as a musician again, like they did in the 80s after Dukes of Hazzard, and I think it's working. So, cool thing is Monday night on Dancing with the Stars, I'll be singing one of the new songs that comes out the following morning. So I'm excited about that. Should be millions of people watching it. Should be great for an independent artist to be able to sing on a national television show like that. And we'll see what it does to our sales. Hopefully, boost them substantially.
I'd be remiss to not ask you today about your friend Roy Clark and his passing.
Yes, it was sad. I have such great memories of Roy. I did Hee Haw 6 times and co-hosted it with him several of those times. He was just such a fun guy, such a joy to be around. And when I think of Roy, I think of his amazing ability to play these really kind of impossible licks on the guitar. And he'd look down as if his face were surprised at what his fingers were doing. And make it seem almost possible for a normal human being to be able to play what he was playing. And that's when I think of Roy, I think of a smiling man, of a happy man. Mm-hmm. A man who loved music, a man who brightened up the room wherever he was. And I like to think that sometime this afternoon when Roy passed, Glenn Campbell got to tap him on the shoulder and say, "Where you been? I've been waiting for you." And because there were two of the, I tell you what, right now I have a picture in my mind of Roy Clark, Glenn Campbell, and Jerry Reed having a big old time. And John Johnny Cash and Waylon are in the audience.
Man, that'd be some. I think I just got cold chills.
So well, it's a sad day, but I do know that Roy, at 85, I know that Roy was, as many folks up around that time. Seems like 85 is a tough one. My dad passed at 85. It almost seems like if you make it to 90, you've got a great shot in another five to 10 years. But 85 seems to be a stumbling block for a lot of friends of mine and my dad.
Interesting you say that. I had a grandfather pass away at 85 as well. So
85. Yeah, I don't know if it's a mindset. I don't know if it's kind of a thing that we put in our heads. I'm not going to put it in my head. I'm putting 105 in my head. There we go. And I had an aunt. I had a great aunt that made it to 103. She lived down in Key West, and so I do have longevity in my family. So I'm going to go ahead and put 105 right there. Putting it out to you. Putting it out to everybody who's listening, and to the man upstairs.
So we will be able to promote that John makes a prediction on tonight's broadcast.
Yes.
All
I
right.
I predict 105.
There you go. Talk a little bit about your partner on Dancing with the Stars, Emma Slater.
Emma is great. She is a lovely slave driver. I mean, she was tough. We worked between 5 and 8 hours a day, every day, getting ready for Monday night. And the proof is in the pudding, because I lost 26 pounds in the process of doing my 9 weeks, which included 2 weeks of rehearsal. 26 pounds. And great thing, one of the great things about Emma, she really likes to tell a story. So when she would choreograph a dance, there would always be a story involved. Her song selection always included a story. For example, the thing that we did on Halloween, I thought it was our best dance. The judges disagreed, but it was a wonderful story about Anne Boleyn and King Henry VIII, with her being upset not only that he had had her beheaded, but he'd had so many wives after her. So she was hell bent on telling that story, and I think we did a really fantastic job. I'm not sure what was going on in the judges' minds that night, but for some reason they were not fans of mine. The best numbers that we got were on the final night, interestingly
right.
enough.
Mm-hmm. Now they had
actually got a 9 from Len, which I thought was a stellar. That's a real feather in my cap, getting a 9 from Len.
Absolutely. They had a little bit of a controversy this week on the double elimination, I believe.
Yeah, I think we can all agree, including Bobby Bones, that the fact that Bobby is still there and Juan Pablo is gone is, I think, a mystery worthy of Ripley's Believe It or Not. And like I said, I think Bobby's right up there with everybody going, what in the world is this about? So we'll see. My vote is with is Milo. I love Milo. I think Milo's a real treasure, and we need more 17-year-olds with this young man's heart, soul, and spirit, and work ethic. He's a hard, hard-working 17-year-old young man.
If people don't know a lot about you other than your time maybe on Dukes of Hazzard, and I'm sitting here looking at a biography that talks about the number one primetime show right now, Tyler Perry's The Haves and the Have-Nots. You've had 4 number one singles in the country music. Talk about success for a second.
Well, success, let me try to encapsulate that. Success to me is identifying that which you have been designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then continuing the process of doing it. success is not necessarily something that is blessed by outward perception. Success is doing that which you love to do, number one, but also that you were designed to do. So I really think I honestly became successful at about 8 years old, 9 years old, when I said to myself, hey, John, you're supposed to be an actor. You're supposed to be an entertainer and a storyteller, because that's when I set out to doing that. Now, all these things that came along with it, all the trappings that came along with it, like the Tyler Perry Show, I'm very proud of that. I'm a part of a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle there. But I tell you, the thing that I'm most proud of is that back in 1982, myself and a couple of other people, and really not very many before, started something called the Children's Miracle Network, mm-hmm. and it's now called Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And somewhere around 15 years into that effort, we became the number one children's charity in the world, and we still are. And we've raised just right at $6 billion, that's with a B, $6 billion for children's hospitals all throughout the United States and Canada. So that, to me, is success.
The pastor part of me just got a big smile on my face, because that's an amazing testimony that you just did right there. And you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask about the Children's Miracle Network. I'm not sure how I missed that before, that you were part of the original founders. Talking.
Well, I've been there. It was a great time. I had been doing some work with another charitable organization at the ripe old age of 22. And remember, we talked about design, being in touch with your design and acting within it. For whatever reason, at 22, I felt I knew what was wrong with the charity I was working for. It was a ripe old charity that had been around for decades. And I made some fairly strong suggestions about how they could improve their fundraising efforts. And of course, just as it would probably fall on deaf ears today, it fell on deaf ears. They basically said, we're not interested in changing what we're doing, and besides, your ideas couldn't possibly work. Well, it was from that. And remember, 22, in touch with my design, got together with three other friends, and we started what came to be known as Children's Miracle Network. The moral of that story is that if you can get enough experts in a room to tell you your idea will not work, then you should rush out and patent it as quickly as possible.
Well,
experts don't know much. So it was a great time, and like I said, we are the number one children's charity in the world, and no one else is even close. And one of the great things about Children's Miracle Network is all the money that's raised goes right to the hospitals. And we have no say-so, not even any suggestions about how the money is spent, because we know how to raise money and hospitals know how to spend it and where they need it most. So that's what we do. They get 100% of the money, and they do with it what they wish, totally non-discretionary funding.
I bet it...
Which was part of the founding principle back in 1982.
Uh-huh. I bet that when you say the term six and billion with a B, that's... Not everybody can use the word billion on anything, much less dollars.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing thing. And our goal, we have a yearly goal. Our yearly goal is to be the children's charity that actually raises $1 billion a year. And we've got a ways to go. We've got a ways to go, but we raised $364 million last year, I think. So, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be us. And it needs to be done, Ed, because the children's hospitals give away several billion dollars in health care every year. So we want to be able to make it more comfortable for them to do that which they do, which is not only make children healthier and help children, but also children's hospitals are very special places. It's actually a place where kids can have a good time. Smile, play, meet friends, meet new friends and family. while they are getting better.
Talk about what's coming up in the country music part of your life.
Well, in the country music world, we just had a song that made it into the, was 36, so made it to top 40, and we've got two more weeks of promotion on that, so I am predicting that that song will get in the top 30. And then we have one that comes out Tuesday, which is called Walk a Mile in My Shoes. And I had the great opportunity to be able to sing at least a portion of that song on Dancing with the Stars on Monday night. Emma Slater and her husband Sasha will be dancing to it, and the world will hear this great new song. Now, beyond that, we just got out of the studio last week, and I re-recorded the Greatest Hits album from the 80s. I was on MCA in the 80s, and that's where the four number one songs you were talking about came from. So we re-recorded those. Then Alicia said, while we're here, why don't we do a Christmas album? So we did we have all the tracks for the Christmas album. I go in and sing them next week. I go sing them Tuesday, and that will put our total of songs for the calendar year 2018 right at 71.
Oh, my.
71 songs. And as far as I know, there's a man in the Guinness Book of World Records who got the Guinness record with 53. So we have substantially beat that record, and we're going to go after that. I mean, why not? If you're gonna blow right by a Guinness Book record, then why not go ahead and do the paperwork to try to get one yourself?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask if there's a world record on that, and you've obviously you've been one step ahead of me all night here, so. And I like when that happens.
It's a pretty serious thought. And there's Alicia. Really something. And if she's the one that, when we lost everything in 2016, I was sitting in the living room in the flooded house. We had two monstrous floods in Louisiana in 2016. The 100-year flood followed several months later by the 1,000-year flood.
Oh, my.
And I was sitting in the living room on the wet couch and playing my old Martin guitar. She came in to talk. I put it down. She said, why do you do that? And I said, well, playing the guitar makes me feel better when things are bad. She said, I didn't ask you why you picked it up. I asked you why you put it down. And from that simple question was birthed the first record we did together, which was called Ruffled Skirts, all about the flood and how floods are devastating, but they also, common tragedy can often bring a community together. So we have a song on that album called An Act of God, An Act of God. Mm-hmm. And then that led to this Odyssey project, which are the 71 songs that we've done in this calendar year. So it hasn't all been rosy, but you know, it's what you make of it, right? Mm-hmm. You can look at a devastating time and have it beat you, or you can have it inspire you to do things that no one else has done before.
Well, and I was impressed at the 52 number. You've blown that away.
So was I, but Alicia wasn't happy with 52 because somebody else had done 53.
Well, is there something about you being associated with slave driver females that has come up here?
I think you're right. You know, there you go. Now you're a step ahead of me.
And
yeah.
So let's not.
I've never had a lack of motivation, but Alicia has motivated me far beyond my wildest imagination.
It's always have good motivation sitting beside you.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's not let this finish without you talking about a little bit about the Dukes of Hazzard and just whatever you would like to tell us.
I have to mention my app. I've jumped into this century, and I have an app. So if people are interested in the music or the movies or the concert schedule or a hat or the Airbnb we have at the studio, then download my app. It's free. It's just called John Schneider, and it's a great way to find out everything that's going on in my life. Now, Dukes of Hazzard, 40 years ago friend. We were at a car show not 2 weeks ago, and there was a little guy, 6 years old, and his cousin, who was 7 years old, and they were introduced as Bo and Luke. 40 years later. So what a great thing to have been a part of.
It's not just iconic and all the accolades. I mean, it's history. It's part of American history from that part of our lives.
You know, it is, and it's part of the best parts of our lives, too.
Yes, agreed.
So many times people tell me their best memories of their grandparents who are sitting and watching Dukes of Hazzard, or their best memories of their childhood at all. I had many people say, between Dukes of Hazzard and Smallville, I've had many people say they could have gotten through childhood without it. So I think it's safe to say that Dukes of Hazzard is now officially the most popular hour-long television show of all time.
I mean, that's something. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And people ask me, well, did you think that was going to be what... I mean, I was 18 when we started that show. All I was thinking about was it was amazing I get to pay my car off.
And
it's great. And to be the guy that the cool kids are looking up to, and then their parents, and then their grandparents who also watch the show, what an honor that is, to have three generations of people looking at me as really part of their family.
And it was a family show. I can't think of a time in my life, and that includes reruns and all years and years later, sitting down and watching the Dukes of Hazzard by myself.
Right, yeah. It was a family sport.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, John, I'll make sure I get all your social media up in the description for the podcast. By the way, I downloaded your app earlier, so it works. At least I can say it works.
Good. We've got a lot of planning in that app. It's quite a deal to have an app this night. And I'm so glad it works. You can have something that looks great, but it's got to actually perform. So I'm delighted that it actually works.
Yes,
it should. We spent a lot of time developing that cute-looking little thing through your phone.
I'll give Brian a shout out here. He's so good to work with on coordinating these things. Awesome guy you've got working with you there.
Yeah, Brian's a great guy. We're going to see him in Nashville next week. We're going to see him Saturday.
It waited till the end to cut us off, John.
It did. It just said call failed, and then I looked and I had three bars after that of power. Hey, old Hal. We are on one of my favorite roads, and I think it's Alicia's favorite road, too. We are on the Natchez Trace Parkway.
Uh-huh.
One lane, it's 487 miles from Natchez, Mississippi to Franklin, Tennessee. It's got one lane going one direction, one lane going the other direction, and not a building on it other than a historic sign and a restroom. My way to travel. Love it.
There you go. You just sound like a good old country boy, John.
Well, you know, I like this world here where there's not billions of people in it. At least we can pretend.
Yes, we can. All right, my friend, thank you very much.
You got it. Have a wonderful rest of your night, and I will see you down the road. Thanks for helping.
No problem at all. All right, folks, that's today's interview here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. Want to thank you for being a part of what we do here. Want to encourage you to look us up at edboston.com. While you're there, you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account. It's got all the different places that you can listen to the Ed Boston podcast at. And let me just list a few of those for you here. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Blueberry. We're on all of those with our podcast. One of those is your favorite. We'd encourage you to bookmark us, however it is that individual site has you to save your favorites. We would love to be able to consider ourselves one of your favorites. We want you to go to the Ed Boston Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. We put a lot of things up from the podcast there as well. Sermons are there. We just would love for you to be a part of what we do in all of our different areas of social media. If you've been blessed by today's program, contact us. You can reach us through the edboston.com website there. Go to contact. It'll say, please use the information below to easily contact me, Ed Boston. It asks for your name, your email address, the comment that you would like to put, whether it be feedback on the podcast, learn about Jesus, a media inquiry, or book me for an event. That is the best way to reach me. We would love to hear your feedback on this program or any other concern that you have. We thank you again for being with us. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing. Jesus.